We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You are locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Kenneth Fitzy is broadcasting live from the Shaw's and Star Market WEI studios. Actually, Fitzy is from the social distance Cape studio this morning, I believe. Hello, Fitzy.
That's right, Ken. Broadcasting from WSJW, the Social Justice Warrior Network. Your old pal Fitzy coming to you from Cape Cod at my Shaw's and Star Market two-bedroom beach shack broadcast studio.
And what a week of change in America since you and I last spoke. You were funny on the Greg Hill Show this week. What a dynamic difference. I mean, it was unbelievable. The Bradford impersonation was legendary. And Bradford will confront you on that at 3 o'clock today, by the way.
Hey, and here's the question on everyone's mind right now. Has it spawned any parody accounts of its own?
No, not yet, but hopefully today is your day.
Only in due time, my friend.
Also, we have a major confrontation. You know me, I'm a hard hitter. Tom E. Curran is going to join us at 1:30 this morning. We've had several peculiar dueling simpatico columns, which I will call him out for. He's aware. He's going to join us at 1:30. We both had a column about Belichick and what he's thinking in regards to Trump this week. And Curran can weigh in on that. But actually, you know, the week of change, Fitzman. Last week, the NFL put out this horrible press release, this mumbo-jumbo which said nothing, which started the whole week for the NFL, aligning the players, pissing them off, actually, if you believe this column that's up there from The Athletic today. This was the driving force behind the players that got together, including Stephon Gilmore Thursday night, and demanding change from the league, which then, in turn, the players won, is one way to read it. Roger Goodell put out the Instagram video last night, and there seems to be legit change. Now, I know there's some that would guffaw at that and say, Goodell, when push comes to shove, it's just words. But, Goodell to actually admit they were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier, to encourage all to speak out, peacefully protest the systematic oppression of black people, to say the words Black Lives Matter, that's a change for Roger Goodell.
Yeah, I don't see the change. I mean, it's a change. It's a massive course change, what we're seeing right now from Roger Goodell, the face of the NFL. And let's be honest, the face of NFL ownership as well, who several of these players have been mad at, if not trying to act in defiance of, for the longest time, because I believe that there's this league-wide with player belief that a lot of the owners just care about their pocketbooks, their checkbooks, and their bottom line, and they don't really care about the players and the history behind how they got here and the struggles that they personally have endured. Even if they're somebody who has recently gotten a $100 million contract like Michael Thomas, life can't be easy for these guys. And so now we're finally hearing from the rich, white, powerful ownership that it's time to acknowledge them. It's time to work stride for stride and hand in hand with them. That's great. It's a path. We now have, like, the straits are not narrow. They are open, Ken. Now what I want to see is, what will the league actually do? I don't care why they acted the way they did. I don't care what they said now, because it's 2020, and I don't want to argue about what's been done, but I would like to actually have an open discussion, a positive discussion, about what we can do going forward to make lives more equal and to make sure that we don't have people that are hurt and distressed and living in fear.
And it's been a powerful week, I think, on WEI, listening to a lot of people on both sides of the spectrum. You know, Wiggy, I know talking to Wiggy, he feels like he's happy the needle moved a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was proud to be a part of it. But in terms of tangible things that we're going to see, one thing is now this tie-in, the Drew Brees response, and the initial response with the flag and the military, which then President Trump entered the discussion last night and mm-hmm. tweeting out no kneeling. I mean, he's back on the get the son of a bitches off the field train. And Brees responded to that with, this is not an issue about the American flag. Well, now it is an issue about the American flag in the fall, right? It's inseparable. In the fall, the NFL, Roger Goodell, Bill Belichick, all these people associated with the league are going to be put to the test by the players in terms of kneeling during the anthem, right? I mean, is there any debate about that? I guess there is some debate about that. I guess the NFL, these players could say, we're going to choose another path to protest. But I highly doubt that's the case. That's the case.
There are some, perhaps there will be some ulterior methods of protest, Ken, some secondary methods of protest, if you will. But don't think for a second that you won't see everyone who's aggravated over the president's stance or who didn't kneel prior to taking a knee once again to show their solidarity for their fellow players and their brothers and sisters, as well as to let him know how they feel about his response and what they believe is his seeming indifference towards their cause and their concern. I find it so troubling that something that is so sacred, that something when you look to it, every time you see the American flag, you should be so proud. The last thing I would ever want to do is look at the flag. Look at that, look at the 50 stars and the 13 stripes. Look at it and like, not be afraid, but look at the American flag and think, oh boy, this means trouble. This is something we're going to argue over. This is something that is upsetting people. This should be something that unifies people. This should be something we should be so proud of. We shouldn't be upset by its history. We shouldn't be upset by the fact that some people are almost like emotionally weaponizing it against other people. It's just...
But you would admit for many black Americans, they're not proud when looking at
no,
it.
No,
certain
of
ways.
Course.
And that's,
absolutely.
Even
not.
If Kaepernick says it's not about disparaging America and the flag,
correct,
in some ways it is juxtaposed with their displeasure about their treatment at the hands of police and all the other issues we've talked about this week. But what does the NFL do? What should they do going forward here? I think from my point of view, if they truly are feeling what mm-hmm. black people are thinking this week and voicing, for them now, let's say they come out and say, we're okay with it, kneel during the anthem, protest in the way you want to. And we understand that some in the military, some that have served, some people are going to be upset by it. Mm-hmm. For us, we're choosing this path because we're doing something that, while it upsets some, is causing no physical harm. And ultimately, this is a larger issue for us, which I would support. But mm-hmm. They're going to lose fans.
Yeah,
right?
Ken, is it any... Obviously, it's on a much grander scale, and it doesn't hit us in the paycheck as hard as it will hit the NFL on their bottom line. But is there not a single, I can attest to this, I haven't even retweeted many videos. I haven't made any personal statements. I know how I feel about it. I don't want to be complicit in my silence because, as the famous saying goes, silence gives consent. But I haven't even spoken out that much. I spoke on the radio. I'm here speaking with you again today. And if anybody asks me, I'm more than happy to make my feelings known as to how I feel about any number of topics. But I've not wanted to wade into murky waters without being best prepared for fear of saying something stupid or getting out over my skis. But even just for liking a couple of videos so I could keep track of them and see where people's heads were and what the news cycle was up to, I've lost hundreds of followers this week.
To which account?
On
the Fitzy account. Oh, both,
yes.
Both the Nick Stevens and the Fitzy account? Oh,
I've
man.
Lost dozens on the Nick Stevens one and hundreds on the Fitzy GFY.
What a tragedy.
I have not made any protest.
Are you coping?
Oh, I mean, it's okay. I think I'll live to see tomorrow. I was able to sleep last night. I'll probably be able to enjoy my supper with my family tonight and celebrate my son's birthday. But now just sort of like, look at that. I've read people like Mark Daniels, who does the beat for the Patriots of the Providence Journal, wrote this morning that he's like, I can't believe I've lost hundreds of followers this week, just by, you know, championing the cause of justice and supporting people who I've written about and covered and followed for all these years. Fine. Now we're going to start arguing with each other over like, you know what it is, Ken? It's people getting frustrated by, if not offended by, when you're told, like, stick to sports. Like you're allowed to say what you want.
Well, that's out the window right now because there are no sports. But yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Stick to what? Stick to the same games.
Stick to the Santa Anita Derby, which is coming up later today.
Oh, man, that's going to be it. Is that what? Stick to NASCAR? Stick to UFC? Stick to reruns? Stick to The Last Dance? You should be able to write, say, and feel however you wish to from whatever it is, your pulpit or your pedestal. Like Tom Curran, who will be joining us in 20 minutes, mm-hmm. He wrote that column this week, which was a bit of an eye-opener for me. I'm done looking for excuses to stay silent. Obviously, that was going to, and I saw in his timeline, he was arguing with people or people were clapping back, and it was a lot of the stick to sports, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, that's the last discussion we should be having now. And it's also not about us, Ken. I mean, we can't literally do 3 hours of silence, although there are probably some people that are like, yeah, I'd rather listen to 3 hours of silence than Ken and Fitzy. But we can't do 3 hours of silence, but this isn't our moment to try to own or to co-opt or make about us. This is trying to see how the leagues that we cover and love will handle this, and then just providing an open forum to, you know, foster a discussion that hopefully will make lives better.
Well, in terms of the NFL, one thing let's play Goodell's audio for those who haven't heard it, the Instagram message.
So long as I don't have to watch it again, it is one of the 10 worst teleprompter performances in history. And did he also have to wear like a skin tight workout shirt?
Hey, I'm Roger Goodell. I'm super buff. Just want you to know that I could break any of you in half. Here's my message off prompter.
He tried to use disarming hand motions to make it seem organic. I appreciate that. But before we get to it, actually, the tie-in with Jay-Z is also very interesting from the NFL now. Because one thing Goodell didn't mention is Kaepernick, right? That's the one thing he stayed away from, which, I mean, I guess you can understand, because the minute he says Kaepernick's name, now they're admitting that they blackballed the guy, which I don't think they'll ever do. But Jay-Z was supposed to be in the new partnership a conduit of some kind, right? We had the Kaepernick workout, and Jay-Z actually sort of took the league's side against Kaepernick. At least that's what it felt like to me. So now, does he manage this in some way? Does Jay-Z step to the forefront and does that help? I mean, does he try to steer it away from the anthem and the flag? And if so, do black people turn on him? I don't know. You're gonna have Trump back on. Ugh. The campaign again. I mean, this is going to hit another head in the fall, in a major way.
Oh, I'm just curious what his new, you know, rally cry or what the new Trump quote is going to be, because obviously in 2017, I think it was on a Saturday night, Ken, in early September, he was in Alabama doing a rally, and that's when, obviously playing to his base, and if you can't see that, then you have no idea what the forest or the trees are, and we shouldn't be having this discussion. But that's when he famously said, get those sons of bitches off the field.
Right. He feels it's a winning issue for him. I mean, he said that. He kind of touted the owners and saying, hey, I'm going to win on this issue. If you want to challenge me, go ahead. But this is a winning issue for me. And, of course, that brings Belichick into the picture. And, of course, the letter that he wrote personally to Goodell, to Trump, which he read in New Hampshire the night before the election. All right, here's Roger Goodell last night via Instagram, the video message.
It has been a difficult time for our country, in particular, black people in our country. First, my condolences to the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and all the families who have endured police brutality. We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier, and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe Black Lives Matter. I personally protest with you and want to be part of the much needed change in this country. Without black players, there would be no National Football League. And the protests around the country are emblematic.
I guess that's it. We cut off there. But anyway, you get the gist. We were wrong. We encourage you to speak out. But does that mean take a knee during the anthem in the fall? 617-779-7937. What does the NFL do here? What do you think? I mean, do you think this is just short-term, sensing the moment, pandering right now to which way the wind is blowing, and they'll have a reverse course in the fall, like he was pushed into this by all those players that put the video together? Oh, or is it sincere?
And I was just, and here I was just preparing for my, you know, my fear of the second wave coming this fall, and now we got to work. Good Lord.
Well, what do you want to do? Break down this year? I mean, he's going to be the MVP.
No, I'm just saying, like, this year is relentless. I mean, if Brady could have just stayed, obviously.
But you ran him out of town. It's part of your fault.
It is. This was my idea. This is all part of my super plan to get the world to open up a hole and swallow itself, Ken. Yeah. If the NFL, if they allow Roger Goodell to go out front and center and make this statement, and they say they want to be activated and they want to be an ally in the force for good, mm-hmm. and they want to be a proponent of change for all the players whose friends and family and they themselves have felt oppressed or have felt unjustly done upon in their lives. And then they come out and say, but this is a place of work and you're not allowed to take a knee or a protest. So here are the guidelines for protesting. Like, if we see something like that, that'll just infuriate and piss off the players.
Yeah, they won't stand for it.
And then
I'll
feel like this is just like emotional or social fan service from Roger Goodell. So now he just shone a brighter spotlight on himself and all the executives at 345 Park Avenue and the other 32, excuse me, I'll say 31 other owners. I don't know what the other owners are thinking, but I know that Robert Kraft committed $1 million to a bunch of causes geared towards social justice.
Yep.
Just the other day. So I know what he's thinking.
We sort of do, but then again, he's kind of played both sides of it over the last 4 years, right? He's still maintained a relationship with Trump. Mm-hmm. And if that's the same pool of people that we're talking about here that blame Trump for undermining those causes, then that's going to be a problem too. But let's hit the phone lines. What do you think here? Because I agree with you, Fitzy. I think now Goodell has put himself in the corner where they're going to have to let players protest any way they choose, which includes the anthem. And then, it's going to hurt the NFL's bottom line, but maybe that's the side that they authentically have chosen right now. David in the car starts it. Oh, sorry, we got a Warren on the Cape.
Okay, come on, David. How are you, buddy?
No, it's Warren first. Hi, Warren.
Oh, it's Warren. Hey, Warren.
Oh, you got me?
Gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah, a little bit of a goofy runaround option, but how about either not playing the national anthem when the player's on the field, play it before they get out on the field, or wait till halftime when they're in the locker room?
Well, that's interesting. Mm. So take it out of the player's hands, but how would these guys react to that, do you think? Would they sit idly by and not? I mean,
they couldn't react. They're not out there. No protest.
Warren, I believe what Ken is saying is, how do you believe they would react if they were notified that the national anthem, which has been traditionally played, I want to say since the 1950s, perhaps, before all of the games, that won't be the first time I've ever said something where I thought I was right and I wasn't, but it's been played for so long.
It's come along at different times.
It's come along at different times, but if they were suddenly told Warren, hey, we're not even going to give you a chance to protest because we're going to play it at 12:45, well before the, before you guys make your on-field entrance, or we're going to play it at halftime.
Who would be out there? There's no fans.
Yeah, who's going to be out there, Warren? I mean,
play the anthem,
do you sit in your seat?
Yeah, just cancel the anthem at sporting events, which maybe we should.
You play it for the fans, and they can protest in another way.
Just have it on TV. I don't know.
Hey, Warren, can I ask you?
He's dropped.
Okay. Well, I'm curious, though. Anyone who calls in, though, if they want to weigh in on this discussion, I would just like to know first how they feel about it. Because I was listening to Mark and Hart earlier, who just bore straight in on this. And I want to get to a good point I think Mark James made earlier. What? A tree grows in Brooklyn? Wow. Taking it away would just be a nightmare. But I would love to hear everyone say, like, I agree with it, or I'm okay with it, or it bothers me because. This is the dialogue we have to have, Ken. Like, once you decide, like, there is no half measure in treating an infection. Like, once you decide to, like, fix something, you either go in and root out the infection and clean it out altogether, or you just leave it alone and hope it heals itself. And obviously, the NFL chose leave it alone and hope it healed itself for a while, and it didn't work. And as a matter of fact, it got worse. So now they have to go in and clean it up, and here we are, and it's going to be a messy process, man.
David is in the car. Hi, David.
So, good afternoon, gentlemen. So, gentlemen, I want to give you a different perspective from someone who's not born in this country. I am a U.S. citizen. Okay. I vote. I decided to give up the country of birth to become a citizen of this country. So one of the questions I was asked when I became a U.S. citizen was, if my country went to war with the United States, which one would I proudly defend? And my answer was the United States, which later on I did join the armed forces for 2 years. So my thing is this. I firmly believe kneeling to the flag, it's disrespectful. I firmly believe that if you want to protest, it's your right. You have every right. We have the most rights in this country than any other countries. And most people, including Americans, don't appreciate that and don't even know that, regardless of what nationality, what color, Italians, Jewish, Americans, African-Americans, it doesn't matter. And most people don't respect and don't appreciate what they have. Now, you want to protest, by all means, please do. I was in a country where I was born, where in the 70s, as a mid-teenager to late teenager, they went through it. The government was taken down. People would get arrested for speaking out on the streets. There was a lot going on. That was Portugal, by the way, 1974. So my thing is, you know, when I hear people, so I'm not a fan of Trump. But one thing I do agree is, you kneel to the flag, you're being disrespectful to the flag. If you have issues with a country, you have issues with what's going on, find other ways to voice your opinion, find other ways to express how you feel and do something about it. But when the national anthem is played, and you're at a public event, like any sports event, and I am also a former professional athlete, you respect, you stand there, hand over your heart, however you choose, and you gracefully appreciate what you're listening to, what it means, what's behind the words of the anthem, what's behind the music. Listen to the music. And I'm sorry. I am truly sorry. I actually feel bad that Drew Brees took back what he said about the kneeling, because he apologized. I understand why he did, because in his business, what he's doing still as an active player, he had to do that. Otherwise, he would have been, oh my God, I don't even want to go into what would have happened. But the thing is, if you ask the average American what the colors of the flag mean, what the stripes, what they mean, what is the first stripe on the flag, what's the last stripe, the meaning behind the stars, what the first flag of the United States looked like, they don't even know it. I just got to share one more thing with you guys. I lived in a neighborhood where my neighbors, we used to get around, have a few beers, and they all used to complain about the government, this and that. So one day, I'm finishing dinner, and somebody knocks on my door. I go to my door. It's somebody local in a town who's running for office. He's obtaining signatures. So he came to my door. I signed the petition for him to run. So I turned around to him, and I said to him, I said, don't forget to go to, and I named my neighbors one by one. You know what he said to me, guys? He turned around. He goes, I would love to, but I can't. I'm like, why not? He says, they're not registered voters. I'm like, excuse me? These guys sit with me having a beer complaining about our local mayor, governor, government, and they're not even registered voters. How dare you? How dare you complain about a government when you don't even vote for it?
Yeah, correct.
Gentlemen.
Correct.
Well, thanks.
I'm probably speaking. I go to any sports event with my children, when my kids are grown kids now, okay? Mm-hmm. And when that anthem plays, I probably take my hat off. I probably stand there. And most of the time, I'll share this with you guys, tears come down my face because of what I went through as a teenager to get some freedom that the country didn't have back then. What I saw lost family members in war and everything else. What I witnessed, what I saw. And here's another thing I'll share with you guys, and I hope a lot of people are listening. I was born in Africa. When people hear that, they automatically assume that I'm African-American or I'm African. I'm dark-skinned. I was born in Angola, a country that was governed by the Portuguese government for many years. So technically, I am Portuguese. But the thing is, I've had situations, people judge me, oh, you know, you're born in Africa? Oh, and then when they see me, it's like, oh, but you're not black. No, I'm not. Is there a problem with that? I mean, so, guys, it's really...
There's a few more people than just all people of... you know, of African American color or black people in Africa. I understand that. Is David still with us, Ken?
No, but okay. A question for you on that.
I understand that.
The message getting lost was a part of the initial issue, right? The problem of the juxtaposition of the flag and the kneeling. I wonder if the Black Lives Matter movement would consider that and say, well, we could either force this and say, you know, you're still not understanding what we're going through if you don't let us protest how we want, when we want. Mm-hmm. Or might they say this is just counterproductive and you'll have callers like David or others who are just so polarized by this, it's not the best idea.
Well,
maybe it's not a foregone conclusion that NFL
right.
players will kneel again this fall during the anthem.
I feel like David didn't say, I'm going to turn the NFL off. David didn't say, I'm not going to go. I remember David has actually called the state. David's a frequent listener. He's a bit of a P1, and he's always a good call. I'm definitely aware of the fact that he was a former professional athlete, but I didn't know his story of where he came from and, you know, when he emigrated here and that background. But I don't think I heard him say that I'm going to turn the game off. I know he wanted to root for Tampa Bay because he was mad about Tom Brady leaving, but I don't believe he said at any point during that call, I'm going to stop watching or I'm going to have words or harshly disagree or continue to protest against those.
But if you feel that strongly,
about it,
you're probably going to stop watching, don't you think? I mean,
we should
ask them the question.
I don't think so. Yeah, that's why I wanted everyone to try to at least offer that up first so we can have a discussion about it. You know, it's okay. Let's just use the example this week, Ken. Drew Brees. It's Drew Brees' personal right to feel however he does about the national anthem, about the flag, what it stands for, and to have whatever level of pride in his country that he does. But it's not Drew Brees' right, in my estimation, to tell other people how they should feel about it. And that therein is the gray, and that's where we've had words this week. And I'm hoping, and I think this is something we should continue to pick at over the course of the show today, how can the negative, that the immediate negative, the bomb blast of negativity that came from Drew Brees at first, turn into a positive for the country, for the game, and we as people?
Tom E. Curran joins the conversation coming up here in about 5 minutes or so. Let's first get to what's trending now on WEI.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, you heard the Roger Goodell video. The Drew Brees response to President Trump after he tweeted no kneeling was, quote, "We can no longer use the flag to turn people away or distract them from the real issues that face our black communities," end quote. So it sounds like Brees is behind. I don't say the movement fully. He really hasn't come out and said he's going to kneel either in the fall. So I guess that remains to be seen as well. Michael,
it's a pretty powerful statement, though.
Yep.
It's if you go to Instagram, it's at Drew Brees, and he @ the president to @ real Donald Trump, and then goes on to pretty eloquently word it. It's not as long as his apology the other day, but still pretty powerful stuff.
Michael Jordan and the Jordan brand pledged $100 million over the next 10 years to efforts that combat racism. NBA players approved that 22-team return to play plan. The vote was 29-1. Trailblazers, the only team to vote against it. Players will report now to ESPN's Wide World of Sports in Orlando July 31st. Kevin Durant will not. His season is over. Doesn't plan on playing. Ruled out a return this year. Baseball, the July 4th return date per Ken Rosenthal is Gonski. Forget about it. At best, you're going to get a shortened season with looking like 48 to 50 some games. Maybe it starts in August, so it is nuts. And Governor Baker did speak. We rolled on it. He was set to speak at 1 o'clock. Not sure if he has addressed officially the restaurant issue. We'll get that information for you here shortly. But also coming up, Tom E. Curran on Ken Fitzy on WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Ken and Fitzy here on Sports Radio WEEI. And real quick before Tommy Curran joins us, Fitzy, good and bad news for you. In the state of Massachusetts, Phase 2 is implemented in 2 steps.
All right.
So no tattoo piercings for you on Monday. Tattoos or piercings or both. No massage therapy and no nail salons. So those are out yet. To be determined. But you do get retail in some form or fashion with restrictions and restaurants with outdoor seating.
And some, restaurants with outdoor seating.
Yep.
Oh, and, that's amazing.
And some childcare.
I'm going to be at, so I can put my kids in daycare Monday and go to a restaurant outdoors on the Cape.
Right.
Sign me up.
It's pretty good, right? That's a start.
It's pretty logical, all things considered. I got to say, though, Ken, from having a chance to both noodle about the town where I am so frequently on the Cape, and just even some dalliances in and around the Brighton, Newton, Metro West area, it's not as full-fledged, fare thee well masks as it is in, like, Las Vegas. I don't know if you saw that video about Vegas being back open.
Yeah.
That was an eye-opener. Got to say, I can definitely see a more lax approach towards wearing masks.
Oh, and, people quit. It's
COVID,
gone.
COVID preventatives. Do you think now, Ken? Do you think it's because the numbers are in favor? Do you think it's because the weather's warmer and people are seemingly being more logical, or is it? Well, I saw those protests, and there were. You tell me how there's going to be 10,000 people downtown, chanting for racial equality, and they're not wearing a mask, so why should I?
All good theories. Let's revisit that after Tommy Curran, because he's got limited time. He's okay. Lopping shrubs as he texts me. And Tommy Curran joins us on the Harbor One hotline from NBC Sports Boston, and of course, member of the staff here at WEEI. Hi, Tom.
What's up, Kenny? How you doing, Fitzy?
Hey, how you doing, Tommy? Thanks for joining us, buddy. How's the pup?
He's great. He's awesome. He's the laziest hound you've ever seen. And I'm outside the city, and the laxity that you observe is basically, again, based on proximity. The density of the problems, and certainly there's plenty in Brockton and there's plenty in New Bedford after a slower start, but the human density isn't the same out here. So I think people are just logically reacting to, okay, if I have 4 encounters in which social distancing over the course of the day is impossible with people I don't know, I'm not going to have the same experience with it as folks who live in Boston who might be in lines and more frequently passing people on the street when they go to get their coffee. Because I don't see nobody when I go to get my coffee.
That is logical. That is fair. Now, Tom.
But this is sports radio. Logic has no seat at this table.
That's true.
Hear that.
Now, before we get to your thoughts on the NFL and where things are headed now with the latest Roger Goodell statement, Tom, can we address the simpatico columns, which in my opinion is now 3 long here. Now, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, but you are heaping praise on me. Tuesday night, I wrote, where does Bill Belichick stand on Donald Trump now? And Friday, you wrote, it's fair to wonder where Bill Belichick stands on Donald Trump right now. Is this a troll job? What's going on?
I got to be honest, Ken, and I hope you don't take offense.
No, here we go.
I don't know what you're right. I don't even know until after you add me and say, interesting.
Wouldn't you admit if you were in my shoes, it seems bizarre?
I don't even know what. There's one, but I guess I wouldn't say that that's really a novel angle.
Well, the last one, April 7th, I wrote, why the Patriots trading up to draft Tua Tagovailoa is the dumbest idea ever. And on the 22nd, wrote...
And that's a very similar title, because that's basically what I said would be the stupidest thing
in
history. So I could see why that would make an eyebrow raise, but certainly, again, not that novel. And if you were subjected to the email chains that I'm subjected to... when we prepare our shows, you would see where I'm coming from, because every day it was Tua, 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 Tua. So again, it's and what was the next one?
The other one was in March about who to blame for the Brady saga. Start with Robert Kraft. We all Shaughnessy wrote a similar thing as well. So that one's not as egregious.
I don't think I wrote that.
Well, you wrote Tom Brady fallout. Patriots need to halt the spin cycle. It was all discussing the Kraft spin on.
Right. Yeah. But I guess I would be the opposite, because I didn't really necessarily blame Kraft. It was more of stop saying if he wanted to be here, he would be here. So you got two.
Okay.
But again, so I mean, I appreciate you. I'm sure they're well crafted, but.
Can I send them to you when I write them now and have you, I'll send them to your headline guy. Can I do that?
Do you know what? Yeah. Well, I don't know if we have a headline guy. Oh, yeah. Send them to the desk. I don't know. I mean, at some point I would think it's going to be commonplace. When did you start writing?
A couple months ago. You know, Bradford begged, and I acquiesced. And
so, Tom, it's all hogwash. He's outsourcing it, and he's just using the Ken Laird byline as well. Yeah. And by the way,
so
Tom, welcome to the wide world of having Ken Laird try to live under your skin. Membership has very few.
Well, I'm flattered. I mean, it's good company to keep, but it's just the both titles were almost identical. It was bizarre. Anyway, I had to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you have.
All right, thank you very much. Now, can we talk Belichick in particular, since we both wrote the same thing? Where does Belichick stand in regards to Trump right now? And do you expect him to speak out for or against the president this time around, whether it's now or the next couple months?
Well, we got two questions here. The first one, where does he stand, RE Trump? I have no idea. I don't think anyone does. I can't imagine that Belichick would ever be cowed by folks who believe that Trump is either unfit to be president, a Republican who has, you know, diverse viewpoints from them, or look, there's a million ways to view Trump. I have dozens and dozens and dozens of friends who are Republican and conservative. I have a wide array of views myself. I would never have voted for Donald Trump because I sensed in 2016 the dignity of the office was going to be compromised. I also knew who was going to win the Electoral College votes in this state, so it really didn't make a difference who I voted for. But all that said, Bill Belichick stated in his letter that he not only supported Donald Trump and gave him a quick MAGA shout out, but admired his leadership. I don't know that Bill could. And then the next day he just said, well, it's just friends talking to friends. It didn't sound that much. It sounded like he appreciated the job he was doing and would do as president. Would Bill still feel that way? I don't know. He's never going to bend to public pressure and share how he feels. I would imagine that there's plenty of things that he looks at and says, wow, I don't think that I would have said it like that. Does that mean he hates Trump, doesn't support Trump, wouldn't vote for Trump if he did vote in this upcoming election? I have no idea. Does he need to say something? I know that his players wonder where he stands, but not enough to drop a ball on 3rd and 15 or to miss a block or decide not to tackle hard. So that's kind of the nature of the beast. I don't think anybody should, Ken and Fitzy, have to make a statement at gunpoint, because then we're getting to the point or point of the bayonet or whatever, because then we're getting to the point where the statements are entirely cheapened anyway.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tom. Obviously, Bill Belichick has never been in any position to come out and say, actually, allow me to explain my feelings, or please, no, let me go further in depth on this. But at the same time, given the, I mean, you've seen the intensity with which players have reacted to the Bree statement and just everything in general surrounding the atrocity, the murder of George Floyd, the McCourtys, who I know you have a good relationship with as well. Do you think if it comes to if he starts banging the get those sons of bitches off the field drum again, like he started to last night, and you've got players who feel the way they do and have spoken out that way, don't you think this may come to use a term I know you enjoy using, don't you think this may come to a loggerhead at some point in the locker room preseason?
No, I don't. I don't. I really, again, I don't think that the players that Bill has hired and Nick Caserio has drafted are really the kind of guys who are going to say, I'm not taking the field for that guy. Absolutely. If they get back to sons of bitches rhetoric, and we ask Bill in a press conference, I know what he's going to say. I have private conversations with my players. But this ability that was exercised by even people like me or Aaron Rodgers or many of us, I think, just given the reaction to my column that I wrote earlier in this week, where I thought support equaled saying, look, if they want to protest, they can do that. I don't have to take a knee if you want to, if that's what you feel is good. That's not what they're interested in right now, the folks in Black America. Not that, hey, your protest is your thing, go do it. They want folks like us to walk alongside them. So when Bill releases a statement and says, on to Seattle, and then releases a statement saying my private conversations are private, I don't think that quells the questions. Does it mean the Patriots won't play games? Does that mean Bill needs to be, you know, dragged? No, but he's making a conscious decision to continue to keep those conversations private. The difference right now to me is, and Ken, I'm sure you agree, if John Harbaugh doesn't make a statement, that's fine. Bruce Arians, you know, Matt Nagy, who cares? None of them had a letter held up by Donald Trump on the eve of the 2016 election in which he ballyhooed the gracious support of the greatest coach in professional sports history, in my estimation. So if you're a player working for social justice and you know that Bill supports you by, quote unquote, allowing you to do things like that, don't you also wonder how much the support continues with Donald Trump, who works hard to undermine you as a player? That's the only reason I think that Bill would be well served by saying, look, there are things that are said to my about my players by the president that have been insulting and get in the way of progress in what they're trying to do.
Real quick,
still support him on every other front.
Right. I totally agree. Now, before we let you go, I promise to get you out. How do you think the NFL and the Patriots will handle the kneeling and the protests when football begins in regards to the anthem tie-in?
I think it'll be overwrought. It'll be too much. I mean, as much as I've written this week, the last thing I want to do and the last thing you guys want to read is me during the anthem taking attendance on the sideline as to who's kneeling, who's standing, who's not doing what. Does that mean I'm paying any attention to the anthem myself if I'm a reporter? So what's it all about? So we don't need to spend all that time and energy doing that. Yes, I'm sure that there will be moments of silence for people who have been victims of police brutality and for healing, you know, of both races and healing within the Black community and a greater appreciation for everyone about what the Black experience in America is, or any minority experience in America happens to be. But keeping score for many people on who kneels and who doesn't, and then using that as artillery against them, I think is unfair. And again, the only reason I bring up Bill in saying, if I were a player, I'd wonder which side he was on, is because of his open support in 2016 for a guy who actively works against those players.
Tom, we appreciate it on a beautiful Saturday. Thanks for a couple of minutes.
Wait, Ken, real quick,
do you
Tom.
Want a couple more? Or do you got to go to the break?
Oh no, we got time.
Tom, good because I wanted to see if I could sneak this in as well, please.
I babbled too long at the beginning.
No, I appreciate. I really do appreciate the time, Tom. And there's a Pats related question, but also back to your column because I know you wrote a couple of good ones this week. When you put out, I was very. I wouldn't say I was completely surprised, but I was pleasantly surprised. When I saw it's time for I can't be silent any longer, or I don't exactly have the exact title of your column this week, but I wanted to ask you what exactly it was that prompted you. And real quick, how do you feel? Do you feel better after having written that? Because, you know, I know what your platform is for, whatever the hell my goofball Twitter feed and video platform is for. And I've wanted to say something, but I haven't been afraid. I just wanted to be careful in my wording. So I don't, you know, I have police officers in my family. Black Lives Matter. You know what I mean? Like, I want to... How did you feel when you finished it?
I had some trepidation. You know, I've lost about 800 followers this week, and I'm sure there's plenty of other people who are on the edge of leaving. And what's interesting is my sons, who are in their early 20s, and they're, you know, normal red-blooded American guys, all three either college graduates or on their way to being a college graduate. You know, we're out here in the burbs. We don't have a lot of diverse experiences. But they're really proud of me. And every time somebody says F you to me on Twitter and I say, hey, listen to this, read this one, they say, good, tell them to screw. I think that they're proud of me for saying something because I think like most of us who grew up here and are of a certain age, actually not even grew up here, grew up in America, there was a much wider berth given to ethnicity-related joking. There's no debating that. I would listen to an Eddie Murphy comedy show religiously in the 80s, and then I'd parrot them back, you know, about what he would say, what the little Italian man would say in line at the theater after he watched Rocky.
Right.
Me saying that and relating that to my kids and making a joke, it does chip away. So I think that they probably had in their mind, is he kind of a little bit, you know, an anachronism? So acknowledging it and saying, I got to stop doing that stuff. And the jokes I've had in the past are hurtful. And measuring what I say based upon, I don't want to deal with the Twitter blowback, is probably not the way to go. Look, and what I've gotten more than anything in Fitzy, and I'm sure you have too, Ken, with yours, is people pointing out, well, what about black-on-black violence? Or what about the fact that more whites and blacks are killed by law enforcement over the course of a year? Or what about the black community's crime rates? And shouldn't you be looking at the fact that police have to be more vigilant in there? Yes, 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 and yes. But we don't have to go to that point and start parsing the statistics the way I used to do in the Washington Post and look at it and say, look, our experience in New England is so far different because our law enforcement officers are better educated. We don't have people nervously shooting motorists like Philando Castile was subjected to. We don't have the George Floyd situations because we have very trained and educated officers all through these states. But the point isn't how much blood is spilled or what the actual stats are or whether Colin Kaepernick wore pig socks. The point is the black experience in America far different, and are they profiled and treated differently on the regular by people who they would somewhat look at as allies? And the answer is yes. And I'm going to stop trying to feel badly if somebody takes offense if I say that. There I am.
And the player you spoke to, the former Patriot, who said a lot of people were upset by Belichick when he endorsed him 4 years ago, to reiterate, not to belabor the point, but you don't feel like that will come to loggerheads this time around with players and the coach?
I guess I ask. Our players going to shake their head, shrug, and say, what else do you expect? He's a 68-year-old guy who grew up around the Naval Academy, and he's stuck to his stuff. Is that a loggerhead, or is a player saying, you know what, F you, Bill?
Right.
I just don't think it'll ever rise to that. You know, do we end up going to, say, you know, Matthew Slater's locker, and the most respectable, upright citizen says, I'm really tired of Bill having it both ways. I have a statement to make. I don't think that's going to happen. I just don't think so. I would consider that to be loggerheads, but I do think the players would acknowledge privately that, well, what do you expect? That's kind of how Bill is.
Yeah.
See, it shows exactly why it's more important than ever, Tom, to have guys like Matthew Slater and a Brandon Bolden, but especially Slater and the McCourties in that locker room now, given the tumultuous nature of our racial relations, the political field in the United States. Forget about the offseason change and forget about the fact that 12, you know, isn't walking through that door again and number 4 is going to be slinging the rock. Like, the importance of those guys being there is, I would say, paramount their emotional leadership will be as important as their football guidance this fall.
Yeah, and it's very hard, and there's no right answer, and I cannot and will not pretend to have all the answers. I think we all make in our lives our own private journeys to awakenings and or not awakening. And who's to say I had an awakening or epiphany? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that this is where I am right now, and I believe that I've been a little bit spineless. And it was Brian Flores' statement that made me say something. It's like, look, all you guys were so happy to make statements about whether or not there should be a minority hiring reward or incentive, or how Colin Kaepernick should have possibly protested more effectively. You guys got a lot to say. But when George Floyd is picking asphalt out of his face, or having his face ground into the asphalt in the curb until he's dead, you're not saying anything,
right,
Mr. Media guy. Where are you? That's what prompted me to say something.
Thank you, Tom. Enjoy your Saturday, bud.
Guys, have a great rest of the day. Hopefully you get out before the thunderstorms, or they move right through.
There it is.
That's
they
right.
Move right through, and you get in that nice after buzz.
Thanks for the time, Tom. Appreciate it very much.
Okay. Tom E. Curran on the Harbor One Hotline. Takes a break from doing the shrubbery. Says he's never heard of me or my columns, which is fine.
So, so Tommy Curran was being honest the entire interview.
Let's react to that on the other side. Would like your reaction to his take, and particularly on the Patriots, whether, you know, in regards to the Belichick, he says basically, even though the irony here is, Fitzy, Belichick, according to Curran, told his players 4 years ago to not discuss the election or debate it with the media because it would become a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying this won't be a distraction because Belichick's not going to talk about it. I think he's naive. This time around, there will be upset Patriots fans if Belichick doesn't say something. Patriots fans, Patriots players, and it will be a distraction at some point on the field. Now, maybe he's right. Guys aren't going to be like throwing tackles and blocks.
Is Mohamed Sanu going to purposely drop another pass?
All right.
But I hear what you're saying, Ken. And there's, as the kids like to say these days, there's a lot to unpack there with that issue and the 20 great minutes that Tom Curran just gave us as well. But I feel like Belichick, who famously says, I have these private conversations that I'm going to keep it that way, yet still said what he said, don't discuss the election, but then came out and issued that statement after the second home game or the Carolina game where there was kneeling and the booing from the fans. He made a pretty even-keeled and emotionally welcoming statement that I feel like he's working both sides of the fence, and we're going to have to figure out which side he's going to land on this fall. So certainly a lot to discuss when we come back.
Your calls on the Tommy Curran appearance, 617-779-7937. Here until 4, it's Ken and Fitzy on Sports Radio WEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
1-877 Cars for Kids. KARS Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
With the Radio.com app, you can always listen to this station anytime, anywhere. But there's so much more, like exclusive music channels to get more of what you're listening for, like Smokin' Oldies, Flashback Alt, Vinyl Tap, Nashville Legends, and Reggae Nation, all streaming 24/7, 365, and all just a click away. Listen to what you want, when you want. Radio.com on your desktop or download the free app now.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents, which means you're going to start telling your kids to clean up before the cleaning lady comes. Doesn't make sense, but you're the parent and they're the kids. You're going to start telling them that now, too. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. And there's your opening to remind them who pays the bills around here. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
It's Kenneth Fitzy, and a week ago, Fitzy, we were talking about the protests that had obviously begun already, but I think they, you know, the serious looting at the back end of the one Sunday night, it really hit home here in New England, in Boston, for us on Sunday. But they continue. I mean, it's amazing. Some of these the footage from Parliament Square in London today, thousands upon thousands of people gathering there to protest police violence and George Floyd's death. I see Berlin. There's a huge protest gathering. So it is a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah, it's an internet. That's correct, Ken. It is a worldwide phenomenon. It is an international movement at this point. This is not localized. This is, though we believe this to be endemic to just America, like this is not just our problem. This is obviously something that the world sees as issue. Now, do you believe a lot of the protesting that's going on internationally, Ken, is a statement in solidarity to, you know, brothers and sisters far ashore back here in America? Or do you believe that there are a lot of other countries that have been looking for a reason to speak up as well? Because, you know, I was moved by the footage I saw from New Zealand earlier this week where a couple of guys were doing this tribal dance. I don't think it was Maori warrior dance, but they were doing this very sacred dance in the street as a sign of protest. And the video has obviously gone on to like 20 or 30 million views. It was something that everybody shared. And I wondered if they, you know, how, is this an issue in New Zealand, or are they, or do they really just feel like, you know, they're human beings as well? And no matter who it is, especially the people, the black folks in this country that have felt oppressed and unjustly policed, you know, is this a show of solidarity? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, we had a caller last week asked that very question, you know, why is this an American issue and not a European one? But I think you're seeing that's not the case. I just have no idea. I don't know how to answer that. But in regards to,
it's okay to ask though. That's okay. I just don't want us to be afraid to ask, because all I want to do, we're both pretty you know, behind the scenes, we're both pretty sensitive guys, and people love to chide us for it. But you know, I could be accused of worse. But it's amazing how much we don't know, but I don't want to be afraid to ask, because I do want to become more knowledgeable on this.
Don't you think, I mean, there have been so many issues in the last 10 years in America, from Trayvon Martin to Eric Garner to Michael Brown to Laquan McDonald and Tamir Rice and Walter Scott and Freddie Gray and Tommy Curran mentioned Philando Castile, and Ahmaud Arbery this year was, you know, a bit of a separate issue, non-police issue. But
and George Floyd is now the face of it all.
Yeah, but I don't hear like a trickle of names like that coming out from Germany or England. And maybe there are, and we're not aware of it. But in terms of like people speaking up, and they're getting graded on how and to what degree, nothing from Belichick. We did have John Elway speak up in a statement via Twitter. Now, he's a noted Trumper. He didn't really go. I think some people are skeptical that he, you know, and part of the thing with him is the tie-in with Kaepernick, right? There's this belief that there was a phony baloney contract offer to Kaepernick, which never happened. I don't know. He says it's impacted him. He's listening. He's going to be part of the solution. But, you know, for every positive reaction to that, you get people, you know, just saying he's pandering. I'll believe it when I see it. So anyway, a lot of people to weigh in on the phone lines. Jake in Boston, we want to give his own platform, right? Because
listen,
I don't think you want to be battered with it here in a short spin.
No, but I don't want to turn a deaf ear to Jake. My ears are open. I just hope, let's not make this about us, Jake. There are bigger fish to fry,
will. We'll give Jake his chance. Go ahead, Jake.
First of all, before I get into your ugly, disgraceful column on Belichick and Trump, Ken, did you see how I bullied Jared Stidham into actually calling his teammates and working out last week? I called you guys in the 23rd. Then I have a secret Instagram account, which I post these to. And then I maybe tag Kennedy Stidham and said, where's your boy? And all of a sudden, he calls up Jules and Gunner, and they're practicing. So, you know, social media bullying, whether it's myself or whether it's against Drew Brees, it kind of works, boys. Bully on.
It's a week of change. Go ahead, Jake.
You're a bully pulpit, now, if you will, Jake. Congrats. Yes.
Now on to your disgusting white guilt column, Ken, and Tom Curran's white guilt column as well, who I shouldn't have to wait behind considering I broke the Brady story and he just kissed his butt for 6 weeks to capture page views. First of all, distraction-wise, I haven't forgiven what happened 3 years ago. And in fact, I think it's why they lost Super Bowl 52 against the Eagles, because if you remember, that speech came on a Saturday night, when you should have been focused on the Houston Texans, and 20 of those guys weren't. And they got their brow beat up and down the field until non-kneeler Tom Brady saved them in the fourth quarter, and they needed that game for home field. So when in Super Bowl 52, when Malcolm Butler is crying during the anthem because he got benched for punching Steven Belichick, and they couldn't stop a paper bag, much less a backup quarterback, I thought that played into it. Just like I thought the boogeyman stuff played into the fact that that team didn't show up the last 5 weeks of the season, or the fact that McCourty spent more time figuring out what t-shirts they're going to wear than their game plan, and we just invested $13 million in two 36-year-old safeties to get beat up and down the field by Diggs and, you know, everyone else in the freaking AFC right now. Getting back to Linda Holiday, the real Patriots general manager, she did have a bunch of Black Lives Matter posts this week, but you know, I'll tell Linda, if she wants to be Black Lives Matter, she should leave her old white man for Brian Flores, because Brian Flores is a very smart man, up and coming. You know, if she wants to prove that she's really Black Lives Matter, get out of the Nantucket house, which Bill hasn't drafted a Pro Bowler in since you moved in there, and go down to Miami and hang out with Brian. And then on systemic racism and racial justice, it's not so much about police killings, boys. It's equal justice under the law. So when stupid Steven Belichick was arrested for possession in 2006, he didn't get the same two-year sentence that African-American Mitchell Lawrence did, which was 2 years in this very state. I wonder why. So why don't you ask the McCourties about that one? Or are they too busy picking out what shirts they're going to wear while defending their white privileged head coach or their white privileged coaches, because it's more than one at this point? Or Bob Kraft, you know, who was arrested for prostitution, didn't get the same punishment as Warren Sapp, who was fired from the NFL Network and actually arrested, cuffed, brought in, and prosecuted for the same exact crime. Why don't we go ask Matt Slater about that? Why one was, why the white guy was, why the white patriot was off the hook while the African-American wasn't? I want to hear that more than I want to hear the politics of, well, Trump. No, I want to hear Bob Kraft got off the hook, Steven Belichick didn't get a two-year sentence for possession, ended up at Rutgers, like your typical white privilege that's existed in the system through the 1700s. Where are those questions?
There's Jake with another lengthy performance this week. Now, in regards to equal justice under the law,
that's about all that you need to say. And we are here, if for no other reason than obviously Jake can't afford a therapist. So if he needs to work all week long to his big 2 minutes on Ken and Fitzy or Ken and the Honk or whatever you call this dumpster fire of a radio show, by all means, please, we are here for that. My God, to live with all that anger.
Well,
it can't be good for you, Ken.
There's a lot of anger this week. I don't blame anybody for that. In regards to the equal justice under the law, mm-hmm. what is the timeline for the Chauvin and the three other police officer? Because obviously that's going to play a large role in whether they're convicted or not of, you know, second degree murder and the charges. Mm-hmm. Are we looking at months and months for that? I actually have no idea what the timeline of is it a year in the making?
Are you allowed to expedite a trial just because of the nature of the white hot heat and the intensity surrounding it, because of the political interest and the social ramifications? I mean, due process obviously has to be served, but you can't just like run out back and like set up gallows for these guys because you need a guilty verdict and you have to quell a massive international unrest over it. I mean, we have laws for a reason,
right? But if that happens in the fall, that's obviously another issue that would drag sports into it, in particular.
Do the Vikings ask if they can play their home games in the Dakotas?
Lines are packed, obviously. We'll get to all your calls here coming up. 617-779-7937 in regards to what the NFL should do, mm-hmm. admitting they were wrong and encouraging players to speak out. But does that mean during the anthem again in the fall? Text at 37937. Also, we'll give you the full list of Phase 2 Massachusetts items that are open. We've got a lengthier list now. More than just restaurants and I don't know what I said before. But anyway. It's like a 10 bullet item. It's somewhat encouraging.
That's pretty good.
That's 60 seconds away on Ken and Fitzy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.